You know, it's interesting when you think about it, how we feel, our energy levels, their overall sense of well-being. Could it be deeply connected to what we eat? You send over some historical notes, scientific articles, really fascinating stuff. And it made me wonder, is food more than just fuel? Is it actually a form of medicine?
Yeah, that's exactly what we're going to explore in this deep dive. We're going to unpack this whole food as medicine concept. We'll trace it all the way back to its ancient origins and bring it up to the cutting-edge science that's giving it a whole new meaning today. It's all about understanding how the choices you make at mealtime can have this huge impact on your health, more energy, stronger immunity, just a clearer path to making better choices about your diet.
Makes sense. I mean, who doesn't want more energy or a stronger immune system? So yeah, let's dive in. And for everyone listening, whether you're already on this path or just starting to explore, let's begin our journey to strive to be physically strong, mentally awake, environmentally safe.
Okay, so this idea of food having these medicinal properties, it's not exactly a brand new discovery, is it? From what we've learned, this goes way back.
Oh, absolutely. Way back. The idea of food as a therapeutic tool goes back thousands of years. Think about ancient Egypt, for example. They had this medical knowledge documented in texts like the Ebers Papyrus. Think of it like their version of a medical textbook from around the second millennium BC. They used specific foods for healing. Goose fat, for example, was for pain. Liver was used to treat night blindness. And get this, honey was listed in something like 500 different remedies.
500. Wow. I guess they really like their honey.
Right, and it makes sense. I mean, we know now that honey has these natural antimicrobial properties, so it kind of explains why they used it so much.
Fascinating. And the Egyptians weren't the only ones who saw this connection, were they? No, not at all. Around the same time in India, Ayurvedic medicine was developing. And, food was and still is a cornerstone of this system. They really emphasized the importance of diet in maintaining balance, preventing disease. So you can see, even back then, they understood how important this food well-being connection was.
It seems like they're really onto something, even without all the fancy labs and technology we have today.
Exactly. And this understanding wasn't limited to Egypt and India either. Traditional Chinese medicine, or TCM, which started to take shape around the 3rd century BC, also put a ton of emphasis on food and health. There's this text called the Huang Di Nei Jing, sometimes called the Yellow Emperor's Book of Medicine. It's considered the foundational text of TCM. And in it, they actually provided some of the earliest dietary guidelines we know of. They listed specific grains, fruits, animal products, vegetables, and talked about how they promote well-being.
So it was pretty systematic, even back then.
Oh, yeah, a very systematic approach to how different foods can actually influence the body.
So Egypt, India, China. Sounds like these ancient civilizations were really ahead of their time in a lot of ways.
They were. And we can't forget about Hippocrates. He was a Greek physician in the 5th century BC, often called the father of medicine.
Ah, yes, Hippocrates. Wasn't he the one with that famous quote about food and medicine?
That's him. He said, "Let thy food be thy medicine, and thy medicine be thy food." Now, there's a bit of debate about the exact wording, but you get the idea. Food deeply affects our health, both physically and mentally, and it can be a powerful way to prevent illness. That was central to his whole medical philosophy.
It's a quote that people still live by today.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And if you look at all these different cultures, from ancient Greece and China to the Aztecs, they all use common foods, onions, garlic, cocoa for their healing properties. It's like they instinctively knew that food could support health, even without scientific studies.
It makes you wonder how they figured it out, right?
Yeah.
Maybe generations of watching how different foods affected people. Did they notice some foods gave them more energy or helped them recover faster? It's fascinating. But let's fast forward a bit. How did all this ancient wisdom turn into the scientific understanding we have now?
That's a great question. A big shift happened in 1747 with a Scottish surgeon named James Lind. He basically conducted what we now consider the first controlled clinical trial.
A clinical trial back then. What was he studying?
Scurvy. Sailors were getting scurvy all the time, and he wanted to figure out how to treat it. He discovered that the sailors who were given citrus fruits recovered incredibly quickly.
Citrus fruit. So that was even before they knew about vitamin C.
Exactly. Vitamin C wasn't identified until the early 20th century, but Lind's work showed there was a direct link between a specific food and a disease.
So that was like an early scientific clue that there were things inside food that had a measurable impact on health.
Exactly. And then in the mid-19th century, formal nutrition science started to emerge. They figured out calories and the main macronutrients, mm-hmm. fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. It was like a more analytical approach to food, looking at the basic components.
Kind of breaking it down to the nuts and bolts, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And then came the discovery of vitamins in the early 20th century, and that really changed everything.
Yeah, vitamins. I mean, we hear about them all the time. But how did that discovery solidify the whole food as medicine idea?
Well, in 1912, a guy named Casimir Funk coined the term vitamins. He realized there were these essential factors in our diet. And then researchers started connecting specific vitamins to preventing diseases, like vitamin C prevents scurvy, B vitamins prevent beriberi, and vitamin D prevents rickets.
So it was like the scientific proof they needed?
Exactly. They were seeing the food as medicine concept play out at a molecular level.
And that's what led to multivitamins and fortifying foods with extra nutrients.
You got it. The first multivitamins appeared around 1921, and then in 1924, they started adding iodine to salt to prevent goiter.
Wow, it's amazing how quickly those public health initiatives took off once they understood these essential nutrients.
It is, and the research didn't stop there. In the late 20th century, the focus shifted to the connection between diet and chronic diseases. That's when we got the dietary guidelines and nutrition labels.
Ah, yes. The food pyramid, serving sizes, all that stuff.
Exactly. It was all about guiding people towards healthier choices.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was this fascinating development around 1999, nutrigenomics.
Nutrigenomics? What's that?
It's the idea that our genes can influence how we respond to food. So what's good for one person might not be ideal for another because of their genes.
So basically, personalized nutrition based on your DNA?
That's the idea. And then the 21st century arrived, and we saw this explosion of research on the gut microbiome.
Ah, yes, the gut microbiome. All those trillions of bacteria living in our digestive system. It seems like we're just starting to understand how important they are.
It's a whole new frontier. And it's closely tied to the food as medicine movement. We're learning how important the gut microbiome is for conditions like obesity, type 2 diabetes, heart disease, even our mental health.
It's like all this ancient wisdom is being backed up by modern science. Okay, so we've covered the history. Let's dig into the medicine part. What are the key nutritional principles that make food so powerful?
It all comes down to three things: macronutrients, micronutrients, and phytochemicals. Macronutrients are those we need in large amounts: carbohydrates, proteins, and fats. Carbohydrates give us energy, especially for the brain and muscles. Proteins help build and repair tissues, support immunity, and they're involved in countless biochemical reactions. And fats are crucial for energy storage, hormones, cell growth, and absorbing vitamins.
So it's like a well-balanced team, each playing a critical role.
Exactly. Then you have micronutrients, which are vitamins and minerals. We need them in smaller amounts, but they're just as vital. They're involved in energy production, cell function, immunity, everything. Vitamins are either water-soluble, like the B vitamins and vitamin C, or fat-soluble, like vitamins A, D, E, and K, and minerals like calcium, magnesium, iron, zinc. They're critical for bones, nerves, fluid balance, all sorts of things.
It's amazing how much these tiny compounds can impact our health. And what about phytochemicals?
Phytochemicals, also called phytonutrients, are these bioactive compounds found in plants. They're not essential for survival like vitamins and minerals, but they offer a ton of health benefits. They act as antioxidants, which protect our cells from damage.
Like those free radicals we always hear about, the ones that can lead to aging and disease.
Exactly. Phytochemicals can also be antimicrobial and anti-inflammatory, and some research suggests they might even help prevent certain cancers, support brain health, and boost cardiovascular health.
So we're talking about things like the color pigments in berries and carrots.
Yes. Those are anthocyanidins and beta-carotene, types of phytochemicals. And there are also flavonoids in tea and isothiocyanates in broccoli. Eating a variety of plant-based foods is the best way to get all those beneficial compounds.
It really is all about eating the rainbow, isn't it? Getting those colorful fruits and veggies.
Absolutely. And it's the combination of all these components, macro, micro, and phyto, working together that makes food so powerful. They support our health and help prevent disease.
So let's get specific. How does all this translate to actually using food as medicine? Can it really help with health challenges?
It can, in a lot of ways. Think about chronic inflammation. It's a factor in many chronic diseases, and what we eat can have a huge impact on it.
Makes sense. Food can either fuel inflammation or help fight it.
Exactly. There are anti-inflammatory foods like fatty fish, olive oil, leafy greens, berries, nuts, seeds, and spices like turmeric and ginger.
Okay, so load up on those. And what about on the flip side? What should we avoid?
things that promote inflammation, processed foods, refined sugars, unhealthy fats. You want to limit those as much as possible.
Got it. Avoid those. Focus on the good stuff. What about for managing chronic conditions like heart disease, diabetes, obesity?
Well, the Food as Medicine movement is making some real progress there. There are programs popping up that focus on giving people access to nutritious food, like produced prescription initiatives and medically tailored meals.
Produced prescriptions, interesting. So basically doctors prescribing fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, kind of. And the early results are promising. These programs are improving health outcomes, reducing hospitalizations, even saving money in healthcare. And there are dietary patterns like the Mediterranean diet and plant-based diets that has strong evidence behind them for preventing and even reversing chronic diseases.
It's really encouraging to hear about these positive changes. And what about the connection between food and mental health?
That's another exciting area. It's called the gut-brain axis. We're learning more and more about how nutrients can influence our mood, energy, and even how we think. Foods rich in fiber, folate, antioxidants, vitamin D, and magnesium seem to have a positive effect on mental well-being.
Okay, so those are on the good list for mental health, too. And what about foods to limit for mental well-being?
The usual suspects, processed foods, too much sugar, unhealthy fats, those can negatively impact our mental state. Just like with physical health, there's growing recognition that food can be a tool for improving mood, reducing stress, and helping people cope with mental health challenges.
It's all connected. Okay, you mentioned specific foods earlier. Can you give us a few more examples of foods with medicinal properties that researchers are excited about?
Sure. Berries, for example, are packed with antioxidants, and they've been linked to preventing a wide range of diseases. Then there are cruciferous vegetables like broccoli, kale, and cauliflower. They have unique compounds that might protect against cancer and support heart health. Fatty fish, which are rich in omega-3s, are known for their anti-inflammatory effects and heart benefits. And different types of mushrooms have compounds that can boost the immune system.
Okay, so we've got berries, cruciferous veggies, fatty fish, mushrooms. What else?
Spices. Turmeric, with its active ingredient curcumin, is a powerful anti-inflammatory and might help with conditions like arthritis. Ginger is also anti-inflammatory and aids digestion. Even green tea, which is loaded with antioxidants, has been studied for its potential to reduce inflammation and lower disease risk.
It's amazing to think that nature provides us with all these powerful tools for health.
It really is. And research is ongoing. They're looking at the benefits of nuts, seeds, avocados, olive oil, honey, seaweed, fermented foods, all sorts of things. There have even been studies showing that compounds in cabbage and broccoli might protect against X-ray damage. And garlic and lavender oil have shown medicinal benefits, too.
Fascinating stuff. It's making me rethink my whole grocery list. So we talked a bit about different dietary approaches around the world. Can you tell us more about how some cultures use food as medicine?
Definitely. The Mediterranean diet is a great example. It's high in fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, nuts, seeds, olive oil, and fish. They limit red meat, processed meat, and dairy. This way of eating has been linked to a lower risk of lots of chronic diseases, including heart disease, diabetes, and even cognitive decline.
It's interesting how these traditional ways of eating often turn out to be so good for us. What about Ayurvedic medicine? How does it approach food as medicine?
Ayurveda is all about individualization. They believe in balancing the body and mind based on a person's unique dosha or constitution. They focus on whole, unprocessed foods and incorporating all six tastes: sweet, sour, salty, pungent, bitter, and astringent in each meal.
Wow, all six tastes. That's a lot to think about.
Right. And they also emphasize mindful eating, paying attention to how you eat and how your body feels. It's a very holistic approach.
And what about traditional Chinese medicine?
TCM is also all about balance and harmony. They focus on the energetic properties of food, like whether it's warming or cooling, and its association with five flavors. It's really personalized, tailored to a person's specific needs, and even the seasons.
So different systems, but they all emphasize balance. Fascinating. Now let's talk more about the gut microbiome. How does this ecosystem within us fit into all of this?
The gut microbiome plays a huge role in our health. It helps us digest food, absorb nutrients, develop a strong immune system, and even influences our mental health. And guess what? What we eat has a direct impact on the types of bacteria that live in our gut. Different foods feed different bacteria.
So we're basically shaping our gut microbiome through our food choices.
Yes. A high-fiber diet with lots of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, legumes, along with fermented foods and probiotics, helps create a healthy and diverse gut microbiome. But the typical Western diet, lots of processed foods, low fiber, can harm our gut health, reduce bacterial diversity, and even contribute to inflammation and disease.
It's amazing how much power we have over this internal ecosystem. Okay, for someone who's really inspired to embrace the food as medicine approach, where do they start?
There are a few things you could do right away. Meal planning is huge. Planning your meals around whole, unprocessed foods helps ensure you're getting a variety of nutrients. And mindful eating is key, paying attention to your hunger cues, savoring your food, and avoiding overeating. When cooking, opt for healthier methods like baking, steaming, stir-frying. And of course, make sure to include plenty of fruits, vegetables, whole grains, lean proteins in your diet. Don't forget hydration. Drinking enough water is crucial, and try to limit processed foods, sugary drinks, and unhealthy fats as much as possible.
It's all about making small, sustainable changes.
Exactly. Sure. It doesn't have to be overwhelming.
Now, it's important to be realistic. Are there any limitations to the food as medicine approach? Any things we need to be cautious about?
Of course. Food is powerful, but it's not a cure-all. It can't replace conventional medical treatment for acute or severe illnesses. And be careful with information online. There's a lot of misinformation out there. Stick to credible, evidence-based advice from reputable sources. And be aware of potential interactions between food and medications. If you're on medication, talk to your doctor about your diet. It's also important to remember that food accessibility and cost can be barriers for some people. So, before making any big dietary changes, especially if you have health conditions, talk to your doctor or registered dietitian. Food should work with your medical treatment, not replace it.
It's about being informed and making choices that are right for you. Now, what are you seeing in terms of public perception of food as medicine?
It's definitely gaining traction.
Yeah.
Online, you see everything from personal success stories to skepticism and calls for more research. People are sharing recipes, tips, and debating the science. It's a hot topic.
So a mix of excitement and caution, which is probably a good thing.
Exactly. It's a complex topic, and there's still a lot to learn.
This has been a truly eye-opening deep dive into food as medicine. It's amazing how this ancient concept is now being validated by modern science. It just shows the power of food to influence our health and well-being.
Absolutely. Food is a powerful tool, and we're only beginning to understand its full potential. Nutrient-dense foods combined with mindful eating and healthy preparation can make a real difference.
And it's always important to remember to strive to be physically strong, mentally awake, environmentally safe. Think about the potential within your next meal. It's a chance to nourish not just your body, but your whole self. What small change will you make today to tap into that power?
It's a journey, and every step counts.
That's a great note to end on. Thanks for joining me on this deep dive. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure as well.
And for all of you listening, until next time, stay curious and keep exploring.